Good evening, everyone. My name is Tona, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November the 12th, 2015. So, hadn't been in too long, but I've learned an awful lot in this time. And I'm very grateful for this program, and I'll get to all that later. I'm going to start out where I came from. My mother was an alcoholic, and she was also manic depressive, and she was also psychotic. She was a true Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I never knew from one morning to the next what I would wake up to, whether she would like me, whether she would hate me. Most of the time it was she hated me. But she just struggled so bad. And thank you, Steve. During my growing up years, starting at about 3, I think, my mother tried to commit suicide when I was 3, and then again when I was 8, and then I think when I was about 10, she decided not to try to kill herself, she tried to kill my father. But each time, it ended up with her going to Eastern Virginia State Sanitarium in Williamsburg. It was a big, spooky place. When we would go to visit, which I didn't want to do, but we went, and there were people walking up and down the porches that were screened in because they couldn't come out. And they were screaming and cussing, and I said, oh my God, what's wrong with these people? Most of all of them were alcoholics too. But in those days, they kept you there for 3 months, not 30 days. I wish more of our programs today would keep us a little bit longer if we need it. But needless to say, it didn't help Mama, because as soon as she came home, she started drinking again and just picked up where she left off. I had tried at one time to get her to go to AA. She wouldn't do it. I did go to a couple of Al-Anon meetings. They didn't help me. I think I helped them more than they helped me that day when I went. But anyway, the reason I'm telling all this about my mom is because I know the big book tells us that what we have is a disease or an allergy, but in my opinion, it's also hereditary, because my mother died from alcoholism, and I will tell you that a little bit later on. She had 4 brothers that died of alcoholism also, so it really ran deep in her family. So, anyway, my first drunk, I was 17 years old. My girlfriend and I was going to spend the night with her that night. And her parents were going to go out and dance. And I don't know if there's anybody in here that knows about the Moonlight Room. But that's where they would go to go dance. And they would be gone pretty late. So we got a friend of ours who was older than we were to get us 2 bottles of wine, 1 each. And we got Manischewitz Grape Concord wine. No cheap stuff for us. Good stuff. And we went and hid it behind the flower beds in the snow. And then when her parents left, we ran out there and we got it. And we brought it in, we unscrewed the cap, and we just started chugging out of the bottle. For my first time, I'm not mixing it with anything, but I had never had anything. I didn't know what the effects of it would be. Well, we finished it all. But next thing I know, Debbie's gone upstairs, and I hear her up there, and she's throwing up all over the place. And I'm sitting there saying, I ain't going up there with her. I'm going to stay here. So I went to the phone and called my boyfriend to come over. So he came over and saw the shape that we were in. That night, not only did I lose my virginity, but I got pregnant. And I was in denial for a long time, at least the first 5 months of my pregnancy. I knew I was getting bigger. I just thought I was eating more. You know, I'm going from 103 pounds. Couldn't finish school, which disappointed my father terribly when I had to tell him and my mom. Oh, Mom, we won't go into what she had to say and the name she called me. But I felt really bad that I disappointed my father so much. That hurt. And I know it hurt him. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I sat there and for days and thought. I went and quit school. He had to write a letter for me to quit school because back then they didn't let pregnant women, girls, come to school. That was, you know, a shame put on you, especially if you weren't married. And so I quit school and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do about this baby? I can't take her home to live with my mother, with her being like she is. I'm not trained in anything. I don't know what kind of a job I could get to support us. My father couldn't support another child. And so I didn't know what to do. Well, I had one sister who was 10 years older than me. And she came to me one day and sat down and says, Tona, I want to talk to you for a minute. I said, okay, go ahead. And she took me by the hand, which she always did when she was serious. And so I knew all hell was coming. I'm sorry, Steve. But she says, please don't think of having an abortion. But you know what? The thought had never even passed my mind. I hadn't even thought about an abortion. I just said, you know, I'm going to have the baby. I just don't know what I'm going to do with it. So she asked if her and her husband could adopt my child. And forgive me if I get teary-eyed on you. I've been real emotional this month, and I don't know why. But I had to think about it for a little while because I didn't know really how my brother-in-law would take to my child. They already had one son, and I had to think about it. But then I went to live with them while I was pregnant, and I had my daughter over at Riverside Hospital. And being they knew that my sister was adopting the child, they let me hold her and feed her during the day when it was time. They didn't keep her from me, so, you know, I did get to see her, but she was going home with me anyway when we left. But it was really strange feeling. And when I had to finally leave after 6 weeks, I didn't know where to pick up again. And I went out with friends to some local bars. I would order a beer. You know, back those days, if you're under 21, you could get the 3.2, you know, the colorless stuff that really didn't do anything. But I didn't drink it anyway. I just left it sitting on the table because I didn't like beer. That's what my mother drank. And so I was like, I don't know that stuff. I was there to dance. And that's what I did. I danced. Had a good time. And then I met my future husband, and 2 years later, we got married. And after my daughter that I gave up for adoption, 3 years later, we had our first child, another girl. And then 3 years after that, I had another child, Melinda. We couldn't have boys. I don't know why. I wanted a boy. But I didn't, after I had the baby, I didn't drink, of course, while I was pregnant. Although at that time we didn't know we couldn't or shouldn't. But I just, you know, I'd already made one disastrous mistake. I didn't want to make another one. So we got married. We had our two kids. And when our oldest daughter went to school, I was really getting bored with my husband. And please, guys, don't hate me. But I started running around on him with other men. I'm not proud of the fact, but it's part of my story, and I did it. That went on for quite a while. When my girls were in high school, and my oldest daughter was in college, our oldest daughter was in college, I decided I was going to leave my husband because I'd been seeing another man pretty frequently. So I left him, and I was very cold-hearted. I mean, that's the only thing I could do so I could leave, is be cold. And I saw the devastation in his face and in his eyes. I have not yet had a chance to do my amends with him yet, but I hope to soon. I think God is telling me now that the time is coming near. So I just continued. When I started going out after that, I was going out more and more. I would go out after Wednesday evening choir practice and go drink. I would I got into the PTA, and we had PTA meetings every week. And I'd go out to drink after that. And it's, you know, the progression. It was there. And while I was living with this man, I lived there for 4 years. 2 years after I was there, he started going out by himself, whereas we always used to go out together before. We'd leave at 3 in the afternoon when he knocked off work, and we'd stay out till 8, 10, and come home and pass out. But after 2 years, he started going out by himself on his own. And he slept on the couch instead of in the bed with me. So I said, okay. I've been through this before. I know what I'm going to do. So I did. I went out on him. And he found out about it. And not very nicely kicked me out of the house. And I went and lived with my best friend for about 3 weeks. Then I found an apartment. And at the time, I was seeing a younger man then. And boy, that really made me feel good. He was 11 years younger than me. But he had moved in with me, and not quite a year later, he left for some unknown reason. He never told me. He told me, I love you, but I've got to go. So he left. So after that, boy, the drinking really started then. And so did the affairs, one-night stands. I was just full-blown out there then. Nobody could stop me. Nobody could tell me what to do. I was my own woman. I did what I wanted to. Not proud of it, especially now. My children don't know this. I've never told them. And our oldest daughter, when I left her dad, stopped speaking to me for 18 years. And we got back together for about 3 years after her sister got married. And now she's not speaking to me again now. So, but this time, I'm not beating myself over it because it's not my fault this time. We don't have to go into why she's not, but she just told me that not to speak to her or her children again. So I haven't. But I pray to God that someday that she will realize that I'm her mother and she needs me. And I know that she needs me right now badly because I understand now she's an alcoholic and she's on Dilaudid pain medication. And that I just pray for her every night because that's all I can do. I have to let go and let God put it in His hands because there's nothing I can do. The serenity prayer. I couldn't change her. And I still can't change her. But I pray that one day she'll come back to me. I've had a good relationship with my youngest daughter and my daughter that was adopted to my sister and her husband. And to let you know, her husband took real well to her because they had another boy after they adopted Claire. So they had two boys and a girl. This child was his princess. He loved her with everything in him. And that really eased my mind a lot and helped me get through that. Then I'm out still running in the bars, and I wasn't looking for anybody because I'd been burnt so many times before already with men. I wasn't looking for anybody in particular. But I ran into the man that is the love of my life. He's my soulmate. In a bar. But we started dating, and he stayed over at my house. We did a lot of drinking too. And when he got his divorce, I moved in with him and gave up my apartment. And we're still partying and drinking. He's in a bluegrass band. We go to lots of bluegrass festivals. And you can find lots of different flavored moonshine at these festivals. And I can still taste that hazelnut. Because you take a sip of that and just hold it in your mouth just for the flavor. You didn't want to swallow it, but I did. I swallowed a whole lot of it and bought a whole lot of it. So we just kept partying. And I still go to bluegrass festivals today. And they tell you you're not supposed to go to places that made you drink. Well, they didn't make me drink. I drank on my own. And nobody forced it down me. But now, I've realized how many people there are at the bluegrass festivals that don't drink. Can you imagine? I couldn't. And then about 3 years ago, God worked in a very mysterious way for me. We camped beside this couple at 1,000 Trails over in Gloucester. And I went over and started talking to the lady and told her I just finished my daily devotionals. And she looked at me and she says, "Are you in AA?" I said, "Yes." She says, "So am I." She says, "How long have you been sober?" I said, "A year and a half." She says, "I've been sober for 14 now." She was a nurse. She lost her license and everything and had to gain it back. And anytime we're together, we have our own little meeting there at the campground. And it's wonderful. I mean, things are so different. And I had gotten so drunk the last time. It was close to Christmas. And I had tried to stop drinking for at one point, and I did stop for 74 days on my own. And then, of course, I had that little feeling, well, you can switch to wine and just drink one or two glasses a day. Mm-hmm. Well, that worked for about maybe a week. And then it was, you know, half the bottle. And then it was the whole bottle. And I got the Moscato big bottles. And before you know it, I was drinking a whole bottle at night. I knew I was having problems. I thought I was, because I was having blackouts. And I couldn't remember anything that happened. But thankfully, at this time, I did not get out in my car and drive. I was a home drunk. And we stayed at home. And we had been together 20 years on this date. I drank two bottles of the Moscato wine. I drank a fifth of eggnog from the liquor store that had the blended whiskey in it. And then when I finished that, I switched over to vodka and whatever I could find to mix it with. After that, I don't remember much of anything. But I apparently was very, very drunk. And the only thing that came through my mind or through the fog was he was telling me, I can't put up with this anymore. You're going to have to find somewhere else to live. I think that really sobered me up kind of quick, if that's possible. But it did, and I cried and said, please don't make me leave. Please don't make me leave. So the next morning, we sat down and we talked about my drinking and things I had done that I didn't remember. He couldn't tell when I was going into a blackout. And I thought it had only been 2 months that I was having blackouts. Come to find out, it had been 6 months that I don't even remember of that part of my life. And he told me a lot of things I did, and I just finally said, stop, I don't want to hear anymore. I said, please don't make me leave. I will do anything I have to do to stay here. I love you and I can't leave you. And I told him, I said, I will go to an AA meeting. So I did. I called a friend of mine that lives out in Smithfield, and she goes to Ben's Church. And she's been one of my best friends forever because we used to drink together at bluegrass festivals. And then she quit and joined AA. And she'd been sober for 14 years. And she gave me the name of some places to go. So the first place I went was to Craddock, to the 12 o'clock meeting. And I don't know if there's anybody in here that used to go that remembers me coming in those days. I was terrified. I didn't know what was expected of me, what I was supposed to do. And somebody just told me, when I got in there, they said, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. Don't speak, listen. So that's what I did. And I learned so much. And then I went to several other meetings, and they said, you need to get a sponsor, and you need to get a home group. So after about 3 weeks of going in, I found someone to be my sponsor. And she was a tough cookie. She put me through my paces. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there saying, she's giving me this stuff to write down. I said, what is this, homework? I didn't do homework in high school. I said, well, I'm going to do homework for this. And I was told so I could stay sober. And then I went through steps 1, 2, and 3 really quick because I realized then that I had left my God behind and that He had carried me all that time. And it was just such a revelation to me. And then I had a personal relationship with my higher power, who I call God. And that's what helped get me through the rest of the steps. And I went through them right quick. But that bright light went off in me around that third step. And I said, you know, God is here for me. He still loves me. And then I realized that the people in these rooms loved me too. I said, you don't even know me. How can you love me? Cheryl remembers me coming in. But it has been such an extraordinary journey that I have been on with AA. And I try to keep my side of the street swept. I do my daily Bible readings. I do my praying. Do I do things perfect? No. But I do the best I can. And I just keep trying and keep walking. And last December, I joined a church. And then on January 21st of this year, I was baptized. I rededicated my life to God. And AA is what helped me do that. This program is wonderful. I wish we had some really new people. You could take some home to your son. But it's nothing short of a miracle for me. A true miracle. And I just have been so fortunate to find so many people and to hear them laugh. And now I can laugh and joke around and be crazy, which I am anyway. So, but, you know, I've got people who are just like me. And they understand where I'm coming from. And there isn't anyone that's any worse than the other. And whew, that takes a load off of my mind. Because I was pretty ragged there for a while. But I love this program. I love being in it. I have sponsored now several people. Some have been successes, some haven't. But the ones that haven't weren't really willing to do it. And I just say, you've got to leave now because you're not really willing to do what's asked of you. You're not ready. You haven't hit bottom. And we've all hit that bottom, no matter what it is and how you got there. But we are so lucky to have this program and be able to work it and pass it on. That is the best part of this program, is being able to pass it on to help other people gain their sobriety. And that's what helps me keep my sobriety. Trying to think. It's just, I'm here now. I'm worthy. And I'm worthwhile. And I love being here. And I really don't know what else I can say. Other than the program really works. And if there were any newcomers in here, I would tell them, give it a try. Do your 90 and 90. But I do it one day at a time. because there's always that thought that sometime I may get that craving or that desire for a drink. But I've had two great sponsors. I've got great friends in this community. And I just love everyone so much. And what is so great is knowing that I'm loved back. And I appreciate everything that every one of you have done for me, because I take something away from every meeting. There's not a one that goes by that somebody doesn't say something that strikes a chord in my heart. And I either say, yeah, I did that, or I can understand that. And I do. I was 67 years old when I came into the program. I drank for 30 years. It was gradual, but it got to be bad. I am 70 years old now. And I have outlived everyone in my family. All my family died at an early age. And I keep wondering, why am I still here? And then it hit me. God's got a plan for me. And this is His plan for me, is to share and to tell others. There's hope. There is hope. There is love. You're surrounded by it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. But you got to be willing to work for it. You've got to be willing to do anything that is asked of you. I was told if you're asked to do anything in AA, you are never supposed to say no. Okay. All right. You don't know what you're asking for sometimes. But thank you all for inviting me here tonight. I have enjoyed speaking in front of you, and I hope maybe someone got something out of my story. And all I can say is keep coming back.